The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
I had a dream years ago, and a friend of mine in the dream had bought one of these big Victorian houses, and he takes us into a side parlor. We sit there talking. I said, "Well, this is cool, man. What's the rest of the house look like?" And he said, "Well, to tell you the truth, I've never seen any of the other house." I said, "What? You bought the house and you don't know what's in the house?" And so I got anointed in my dream. I said, "Let's go." And so we started turning lights on, and we found pantries, and we found stairways, and we found cool rooms. Coming down after we had surveyed, I looked up and I saw a trap door in the top ceiling. So we pulled the rope and down comes a ladder. And we find ourselves standing on a flat roof looking over the city. And the Spirit of the Lord told me, said, "This is exactly what my body has done. They've gone into one room, salvation or whatever experience you have, and they sit there. They don't know all the other rooms that are in this house."
I think we've all read about the presence of God, but feeling it for yourself is another matter. I'm sure some of us are asking, isn't that what the pastor and the spiritual leader is for? What is the presence of God, and how can we trust that it's not just us? God, are you really there? Well, find out for yourself on part two of our three-part series on the presence of God. That's next, right here on Sought Out Global Radio. And thank you for joining us for another edition of Sought Out Global Radio. Last week, when we started our three-part series on the presence of God, we were discussing what the presence of God is like. What does it feel like? What does it mean? And when we concluded our broadcast last week, we left you with thoughts on how God takes us into new encounters with His presence, but each at His own pace. So let's continue our discussion as we begin part two of the presence of God right here on Sought Out Global Radio.
There are people that are on schedule in their walk with God, and they're stepping into more layers and places of maturing as God our Father takes us at a pace that is really healthy. There are those that you're calling on that have said no to this forward motion of maturing in God and say, "I really like where I am.
Yep.
I like the splashing around." And God is saying, "I'll wait for you, but I am calling you forward." And then there's the small percentage of people saying, I like the fact you're waiting for me, God, but I like it here." And then as a wise Heavenly Father, He begins to pull away a little bit, and all of a sudden those splashing realize, "I've been here doing this way too long. This is something I wanted to do." All of a sudden I'm realizing, for me to continue to follow the Lord in obedience, He needs to become more Lord in my life, and I need to lay down the things that bring me pleasure and go after Him.
And go ahead, Bethany.
So the pursuit is somewhere I want to come in. We all need to pray over ourselves and each other to have more of a hunger, more of a pursuit of God. But if you're sitting here listening to us today and you're saying, "I've never experienced the weightiness of God. Does that mean I'm on mother's milk? Does that mean I'm young?" I would say, let's throw it on the table. But I would say, Georgie said it so well, people, this is God's way of communicating. And we've all been alone in our house or in our car and felt God talk to us and challenge us to go forward, to pursue. He's challenged us on holiness. So there's places where we can feel the weightiness of God just one-on-one. But are we talking about an example where God is taking us into a new realm as a group, like He could do it in our church service if we made a way for it? Why is He doing that in our last couple of meetings with Sought Out? And would He do that? He wouldn't do it while we're driving down the freeway, or we could have an accident. I mean, these are the questions I'm putting on the table.
Actually, that's a good point.
Well, there can be,
a great point.
There can be, we could have discussions thrown back and forth on all sides. Honey, I so appreciate you bringing that up, because I'm reminded of a couple of years ago that I was on a job site and I was, one of our workers, a foreman, was going through a difficult time in his life. And he'd been a long term under a terrible weightiness and of depression. and his wife has been ill, and he was just sinking. And I invited him into my truck for a moment, and we just sat there, and I just said, Father, and I explained to him what I was going to pray, because he was discovering that there's more, and but hadn't experienced more yet. And I said, Father, will you come and visit us for a moment by your precious Holy Spirit? And the presence of God came down on this man sitting next to me in the truck. He leaned his head back and put it on the back window, and he said, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And as we sat under his presence with this, I watched this terrible dark cloud begin to just lift off of his face. And when we were coming to the close of our time just in the presence of the Lord, because we asked him to come this way, because he was quite an intellectual fellow, and he had all kinds of arguments as to why God wasn't moving today. But now he's desperate, and he's sitting there, and the presence of the Lord slowly but very preciously began to lift, and he said, oh no, do we have to leave this now?
Yeah, we've all experienced
but
that. It
was a turning point for him. And from that day, we watched a change as he began to come out of this deep, dark hole he was in. And just recently, he moved on to another company, and he left me a voicemail that I still have. I cherish it. He said, Herb, you have no idea, but the turn that God used you for my life. And it's because we took a moment and went into God's presence.
That's good.
Not one more argument, not one more intellectual exercise, but just simply said, Lord, we need you. Would you please come?
I think we need to change the name of our sought out to the pickup truck. Because that's exactly what we're doing. We're inviting people into the pickup truck.
We are.
To meet the Lord.
Anywhere and everywhere. And this was on a job site, of a new build construction that was going up. Men all over the place working. And we're sitting there under the weighty presence of God.
So
it was wonderful.
Even in a pickup truck. And see, I have my own story that I want to relate to you that I think is germane to this discussion. And part of this is being in a position of being able, you're talking about being able to receive. I mean, we have to be able to receive in many cases. God can impose upon us when he wants, right? He gets to do whatever he wants. It's his show. But I think that this is an example. This guy that you were with from work is an example where somebody is their heart is tuned to God and they're able to receive. 33 years ago, I walked into New Life Center up in Everett to go to church for the first time up there, and you were up there leading, and people were worshiping in a real free environment that I had not been accustomed to coming out of a Lutheran church or no Methodist too. And so I had not seen that. And I had to leave. I went back out to the car and said, and started talking to God about what was going on here. And I was really impressed upon me that he said, no, I want you to go back. I want you to go back, and I want you to just see how people are expressing with a full heart toward me. And so that story just reminds me of how I wasn't positioned before God, able to receive what he had. I later had to make a shift and a commitment to God to allow to take him by the hand and lead me in.
Oh, that is so good.
Yes, into a deeper experience.
You said yes.
I said yes.
Yeah. 33 years ago.
That was 33 years
ago.
And
here we are today.
Yeah, we're doing this.
We're doing
pickup truck radio.
Yeah.
So I think that's exactly where I was going, is God is working with all of us individually.
Yes.
And in the combination of him pursuing us and us pursuing him, there are times we could settle for less and not ask him for his presence in the pickup truck of our life. But there also is a time, like we talked about earlier, in a unified group of people coming together to pursue him, who've set aside time to just go wherever he would lead. And he did. He came with weightiness. That happened, we were talking about it, George, with the temple with Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7. And you want to read that? Because this has happened many times in the Bible.
When Solomon had finished praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the temple. Powerful.
Man, powerful.
Yeah. The next verse talks about them being on their face.
That's where I was thinking.
And,
yes.
I believe the weight of his glory put them on their face. Whether they did it, you know, voluntarily or the weight pushed them down there, they were on their face.
In Amplified, it says, "And when all the people of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house," which was the temple, "they bowed with their face upon the pavement and worshiped and praised God."
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is a time where he comes to the body of collected together, whether that's in our church or whether that's in a sought out type meeting or whether that's you getting friends together to pursue him in your home, where he will move in a way that's for the body, the group of people. And that's kind of what we experience when you talk about, George, us going through into a new room, into a new realm. Can you explain that a little bit more? Because he'll do that with us individually, and we've used those stories. But what can you expound on that?
One of my first mentors, I was working for a pastor in California, and there was a group of us young guys together. He said, "I want you to do your worshiping at home, and you know, you're praying at home. You're here not to worship today. You're here to make sure the flock is getting ministered to." In other words, he said, "I want you to go to the edges. I don't want you to stay in the middle with your buddies. I want you to talk to your friends. I want you to work the edges." And so we always work the edges of every barbecue or church service to find out who was feeling like they were left out. And today I want to just walk the edges just for a moment before we go on. Make sure you don't feel like you're left out of this highfalutin spiritual language, because you are the one God wants to touch today. You are the one God's made you worthy to step into anything he has for you. He's already prepared a way for it. So I had a dream years ago, and a friend of mine in the dream had bought one of these big Victorian houses with the high steps as you go in. And so we went there at night in the dark and went up the steps. They welcomed us and into this lobby, you know, the classical big glass door. We went in, and he takes us into a side parlor. We sit on one of those old little couches that was made in the, you know, 1800s, and a little lamp with the fringes around, and we sitting there talking. And I said, "Boy, this is cool, man. What's the rest of the house look like?" And he said, "Well, to tell you the truth, I've never seen any of the other house." I said, "What? You bought the house and you don't know what's in the house?" And so I got anointed in my dream. I said, "Let's go." And so we started turning lights on, and we found pantries, and we found stairways, and we found cool rooms in these old Victorian houses. Coming down after we had surveyed, I looked up and I saw a trap door in the top ceiling. I said, "What's that?" He said, "I don't know." So we pull the rope, and down comes a ladder, and we find ourselves standing on a flat roof looking over the city.
Oh. Wow.
And the Spirit of the Lord told me, he said, "This is exactly what my body has done. They've gone into one room, salvation or whatever experience you're gonna, you know, you have, and they sit there. They don't know all the other rooms that are in this house."
Good. That's very good.
That's that cool. Has been my quest.
Find That's been your rooms. Quest.
Find the rooms.
Yes.
Open the
I've
rooms.
Been pushing
rooms.
On doors for a long time. I want to know what this. I want to know what God has for the body of Christ.
Yes.
Not just me, for the body of Christ.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's what we're experiencing.
This is what we're experiencing. And George, it was 10 years ago, and I've shared this story numerous times in regards to Bethany and I and our son Derek coming back from the East Coast I was asking, what's next? And the Atlantic that day had huge waves that were pounding on the shore. And it was so loud, it vibrated my insides. And I called out to the Lord in that language that is a personal prayer language that is available for every believer. And
but you were screaming at the top of your lungs audibly. I heard you.
You heard me. I did. I belted it out as loud as I could over the top of the waves of this surf that day. The interpretation of what the Holy Spirit, as I cried out, asking the Holy Spirit to speak through me, representing the cry of my heart, he did. And the sound of the heavenly language came back in interpretation form instantly. And it's what we're doing today, was what came back to me that day. It was for the sake of the church. It had to do with Revelation 19, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And it means Jesus revealed. Jesus revealed. And his presence is coming and has been with us, revealing the glory of Jesus through the love of the Father because of the Holy Ghost. And that's not all. There's more. In Psalms, it speaks of those who do the bidding and the works of God, and that is his mighty angels, Hebrews 1, who are assigned to the heirs of salvation, and that would be us. And we've had many times where even those have been noticed in some of our meetings, our times together, in the different homes all throughout the region. So there's a profound performing of what came to me 10 years ago over the Atlantic, standing on the shores of New Jersey, as he said, take this, take my prophecy to my church. And it had to do with introducing her to the different ways that the revealing of Jesus is being unveiled to the church in this hour. And we're not the only ministry that is assigned to this. In this obedience that we're moving ahead with, he continues, like Georgie said, opening up a new room to us just recently. There's more. But there are so many ministries across the land and churches. My wife and I, senior pastor to church, I was an associate pastor 16 years before that, and 26 years pastoring. And George, you're double that. And we love his bride, his church.
Amen.
And but our assignment is unique in the fact that we gather people in, and we send them back to the church, rolling up their sleeves to love and to give. And he just seems to be opening another door for us here recently, but it is holy. Mm-hmm. And we want to be honorable and respectful, but most of all, in yielded lordship of what he's doing in our midst.
I've been asking the people lately to remember what it was like when you discovered there was something more than the beginning. Now, I don't want to say salvation is less than, because it is the thing, we know that. But salvation, the beginning, you discovered there was the baptism in the Holy Spirit, there was healing, there was miracles. Those were pretty shocking.
Yeah.
And some people gasped their breath, and some people even backed up from it a little bit, you know, until they got it. So I've been asking some of the people in the congregations I'm ministering to, remember how you felt. Well, this is what we're facing today. We are facing a open door just as shocking as when you discovered there was that much more. So don't be surprised when suddenly you realize, wow, God's doing this. So just as an example, I've been using that as a picture frame so they can kind of grasp what they're going to walk into, that God has something so amazing that you're going to be shocked.
So you mean the gifts are for today?
The gifts are for today, yes, indeed.
And there is more.
And that's the theme. That is the common theme of everything that we do with Sought Out Global Radio and Sought Out Global Ministries, isn't it? That
yes.
there is more of God and that people can have more of Him if they will press in. Right?
And it's our desire, Mark, that we be respectful and steward with integrity what God gives to us. And we're so honored that it appears that now He's open, as George so well said, with the Victorian house. There
That's
seems to be now another room
yeah.
that we've been led to, and He's opened the door to it. And we so, again, honor and want to lead well for the sake of people, that they would know that not only is this biblical, but it's what He's doing in this hour, and that it's there, and that's a safe place under leadership that is moving towards excellence.
I think there's two observations first I want to touch on. One is that you mentioned there's people in churches throughout the region. There's a stirring that's happening, first of all, in the region.
Awakening, like George said, yes.
I think God is up to something right now, and I think many of us have been feeling it, experiencing it. You said we're not alone. We're not, because there is movements of God happening throughout this region.
There really is, yeah.
And so I think that there is, you touched on something that I think is key, that people are, that first of all, I think there is a shift that's happening. I think God wants to take His bride to a new level. And I think He wants to bring the church into a deeper level of experience. And I'll just give you an example. I have a conversation with a guy, and he says, yeah, I get my Bible from my pastor. And I think, and it kind of broke my heart a little bit to hear that he didn't have time. He's a busy guy. He's a professional. There's
fast
only
food. It's like
yeah.
fast food.
Yeah, and I
not
know.
Not to belittle the pastor's
no,
sermon, but
not
it's
at all.
Not going to get the nutrition you need yourself.
Yeah, and I think that there is sometimes as we're working out our faith, we're in a place where we rely too much on our leaders
yes.
to do the hearing for us.
Yes.
But this ministry, I must say emphatically, is about releasing people into that next dimension, that higher level presence with God. And I think that is the mantle and authority that it carries, which is why people who haven't been experiencing that experience it when they come to a home encounter. When they're around us and they are receiving ministry, things are happening that the average person can't explain. And it comes back to the signs, the wonders, the miracles. Not that we chase after the experiential by itself, but it is the byproduct of that deeper relationship with God.
But at the same time, we want to challenge people, don't settle for head knowledge of God.
Yes.
Experience God. Be, you know, a real wrestle of going deeper, and we have the
yes.
relationship with God that we desire. Really, we have the marriage that we desire. We have the best friend that we desire. We settle for what we are reaching for, and that we want to pull the plug and say, reach for more. There's more.
Well, let me just ask George really quick, okay? 6 decades in ministry, 29 years as a pastor. I got to ask you, if I'm listening and I'm in the car and I'm driving down, I'm sitting here thinking, oh yeah, you got it all together. You know everything there is to know about this thing, walking with God, right? You know everything.
Everything.
You're right. You've reached the pinnacle.
Yeah, I've made it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I'm still here. I haven't been translated. It's amazing.
Still learning.
No, I say that humorously, hopefully. And I guess we're using a little humor to make the point that no, I'm not haven't arrived, but I do know more than I did years ago, because that's called growth and maturity,
yeah.
And that helps me help others as we develop in the Lord. We have to be careful, and one of the graces of a pastoral father's spirit is to minister to children without making them inferior or feeling inferior, and lifting them up. You yes. raise them up.
Yes.
So as we speak today, and we use terms that maybe be unusual or out of, you know, you're not comfortable, or maybe haven't heard our language, we're not speaking out of some kind of look at us, how wonderful we are, but we're just inviting into that new room and into a new experience, or at least maybe an extended experience of what you're walking in now. And that's that Father's heart that comes from being in this walk that long.
Thanks, George. Friends, I hope you can appreciate the heart behind George's closing comments on today's show. He's saying that everyone has value and everyone is needed, and there should be no pride and no superstars in the kingdom of God, and that you are highly valued, and that you have just as much God, and you are just as capable of experiencing the presence of God as anyone else. Changing gears to our calendar, we have one more home encounter coming up on September 13th in Everett. Also, remember on September 26th, this is our next regional encounter. This time we'll be at New Life Center in Everett. If you haven't been to a regional encounter, this is a great one to start with, and bring a friend with you. There'll be enough room. For more information on our event calendar, please go to soughtoutglobal.com and just follow the links to events. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have left for today. For our special guest, George Watkins, and for Herb and Bethany Marks, I'm Mark Grode. Be sure to join us next week right here on Sought Out Global Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.